Halleluja!
Halleluja!
Woo! Glory. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Let's get right to it. Get right to it. Time's running out. Things are moving rapidly. Pretty soon, it's over. Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We live in the land of the living, but it's a temporary living. But those who are, how many are here are eternal? Praise God, I'm glad a few of you are. The rest of you still don't know it yet. Trying to figure it out. Looking for identity. Amen. When you know Him, you know your identity. Ephesians chapter 4. Then the search is over for your identity, then you got to maintain it. Amen. Ephesians 4. You know, when the Lord visited Saul, who became Paul, and knocked him off his horse, his high horse, he actually thought he was doing the will of God by going around and catching all the believers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, and persecuting him, actually letting people torture them, destroying families. He thought he was doing the will of God until the Lord interrupted his life and really he realized he was not doing the will of God. See, there are people who still think they're doing the will of God, but they're not allowing God to interrupt their life. It's amazing because when you realize that majority of the time, until you reach that place where your life is about kingdom business, and only about kingdom business, and you're not first anymore. In fact, you're last. You realize certain things about the character of Christ. And when that begins to happen in your life, you realize not only who you are, but who He is. And that nothing is impossible. Things become impossible when we try to do it in our own strength in life. See, there's a tendency that we've got to constantly fight, and that's not fight for our life. We're to be fighting for the life of Christ, not our own. But if you go during the day, you think about how many times you are tempted to fight for your life and not Christ's life. Amen? Amen? Amen. There's a place that God wants us to perfect that. It doesn't mean that that fight won't come. Well, you start fighting for your life. It means that you recognize it and stop. And then you begin to fight for the life of Christ and deny yourself. Amen? Amen. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, let's speak it. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That is the purpose that God's trying to get us to. That's why He puts offices. That's why He puts fellowships together. That's why He puts all of these things together so that you and I can be equipped. Everyone say equipped.
Equipped.
It is the equipping of the saints. He doesn't equip non-believers. He equips saints, believers, those who are upright and right standing. Because many who proclaim to be believers are not upright. Amen?
Amen?
And right standing with God. So He will not equip them. Does everybody get it? He will expose them. There's a difference between equipping and exposing. See, so many times people think that they're being exposed to be trained. And I'm not saying that's not true all the time, but sometimes God wants to expose us so that we have a desire to be trained.
Amen.
See, the word equip means He train. Training. Training. Everyone say training.
Training,
training for reigning.
Amen.
Amen. So the equipping of the saints is the work of service. And the work of service is to the king and his kingdom. That's what this is about. This is what you and I are to be living for, not ourselves. We are to be living for the work of the service to the king and the kingdom, edifying the body of Christ so that we can reach a place where we are like-minded. Does everybody get it? Where we can reach a place where we are like-minded, maintaining unity, and getting to the fullness of the anointing of Christ Jesus. In other words, we want the character of Christ to possess us in every decision, every thought, every step, every area of our life. That's what God is trying to get to me and you. Why? So that we could establish every good work, so that we can be armed, we can be dangerous, and so that we become warriors, not wimps. Amen? We're not just citizens of a kingdom. We are warriors in the kingdom. Everyone must battle. Amen?
Amen?
Everybody must battle. So this is the equipping of the saints for service. That's what this is about. We are being trained. These are not just Bible studies. These are training sessions. The Spirit is giving us things to combat. He gives us spirits that are coming up so that you can attack them. That's why we gather together. That's why he's forsake not assembling. That's why he says abide. Because there are specific things that he's giving me and you at a certain time to attack, to combat. Either for the next move the enemy's trying to bring up or a move already that he's involved in. Has everybody got it? In Psalm 144. Remember we talked about the spirit of narcissism, which is overtaking and infiltrating everything. I hope you're binding that spirit and coming against it every day. If you're not, you need to. Psalm 144. It's infiltrated the body of Christ, and the daddy wants to get it out of his body, amongst a few other things. Psalm 144. Is everybody there? Let's read the first two verses. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who what? Trains my what? Hands for what? For war. And my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress. He is my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me, who subdues your enemies. He trains us for war. Remember, we are called to battle. Amen? Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, not build it. I think there's still believers that don't get that yet. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system. Amen? With gifts and talents, and to rescue those who have been lost and so that they can come in and get discipled. Remember, Jesus said, go disciple. Disciple means to train. We are to be equipped. We are to be trained. Why? For everything and anything that may come against you. In Galatians 4. I can't tell you how many people I run into that, but are not fellowship. I said, well, where are you getting trained? Well, I just believe God. You know, but you're an idiot. You're not being trained. So what are you doing? Are you going anywhere training? You doing any website training? Are you getting anything? No. I make sure that they get an eternal card and a booklet. I said, here, start. Start. Why? Because God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. That means lack of training. And you know, once you begin to get things, the enemy wants to distract you, discourage you, and steal everything you've been taught and trained for. He wants to bring in pride and fear, but he starts with fear. He always starts with fear. In Galatians 4, is everybody there? In verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But is under what? Guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Until when? The time appointed by the Father. Now, I want you to understand something. God places officers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, all of these things, and then leaders for the equipping of the saint. Every one of us should have a desire to step in a position as leader. Every one of us. It's not just about a person that's standing behind a pulpit. Believe me, the pulpit is in front of you all the time. You don't need to carry one. Amen? God desires that all his children come to a place of leadership. Whether you're at your job, you become a leader. Amen? Wherever you are, you're to become a leader at some time. But there must be training. And of course, you know, where there's training, there's testing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Okay. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, everyone say fullness of time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, that is beautiful. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature were not God's. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be what? In bondage. That's when you begin to do it in your own strength again. That's when you begin to step away from trust and fall into fear. Amen? All of these things. Look at, that's why God places under guardians and stewards until an appointed time to be sent. You know, many people do time instead of staying in God's time. They're looking at time. Let's see if I can, okay, I got this much time left to do this. I got this much time left. See, now you're creating, now you're making a decision and not God. You never look at time. If you're looking at time, then you're making the decisions, not God. Does everybody understand that? See, you and I have given our lives to the Lord. We said, Lord, I give you my life. See, but there's that place in time after a period where we were cleaned up, smell better, eat better, and we become self-righteousness, self-trusting, you relying on our own talents and abilities, and counting time. But if you're truly walking in the Spirit, there is no time. Your life is totally dedicated to the will of God and not your own anymore. You're not looking at time as a time of freedom. Does everybody get it? Let's see, if I continue to do this, by this time I'll be free. That's not how it is. If you're in the Spirit, you're free. Amen. It's not about time. Why? Because we should be living from the future to the present. See, people that count time are living from the past to the present. And that's the deception the enemy puts his children into, God's children. Is everybody okay? We want God's timing. Why? Because he's, look at, when you think you're ready, you're not. Amen. I can tell you, you are not. It's usually the time when you don't think you're ready, God says, I'm with you. But when you say, I'm ready, he stepped back. He said, you're on your own. Why? Because he wants me and you to be totally dependent on him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, many times he does everything talks about time and season. And in a time and season, that's a part of training. So you must complete or you recycle. The problem is many people think they've completed and they started into something else. And they're wondering why everything keeps falling off, not maintaining. It constantly being stolen because it didn't complete what God had asked us to do the first time. Amen? 1 Peter 4. Equipping of the saints. Hallelujah. In verse 12. You know, you think about how many times that we were going to start something. We said, yes, I'm going to complete this. And didn't. I mean, it was mostly my whole life. Prior, B.C. A.D., I don't look at that anymore. In fact, you got to throw me out of something until for me to, you know. I don't just leave. I stay there until I'm removed, one way or another. I preach the truth, decree the truth, until they can't take it anymore. And when I get removed, okay, what's next, Dad? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, let's speak it. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial or that fiery training, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. How many of y'all know that suffering's a part of training? That's a part of equipping. Amen. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blaspheming, and on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteousness of one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as a faithful creator. Praise God. So suffering is training and equipping. Romans 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord wants to get us to a place where we quit our whining, grumbling, complaining, and mistrust to where we fall in a place of total trust. Amen? Amen? Romans 5, verse 1. Let's speak it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Oh, that's called equipping. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been what?
Poured out
in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still idiots, sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sin, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now this is powerful, because in this it says rejoice in tribulations, trials, attacks, sufferings. Remember, they're training, they're equipping for it so that you and I can learn endurance. How many of y'all, endurance is a part of equipping? I would say that's probably one of the most equipping things that God equips me and you with. To endure. That's what's called patience. Why? Because the word says be anxious for nothing. See, when you endure, you destroy fear. Fear cannot access you. That's why he says set your mind on the things from above. In Ephesians 6, in verse 5, it says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to who?
Christ.
In other words, you labor unto Christ. Quit looking at man. You're laboring unto the Lord. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as what? as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. That is powerful. But is he saying we are doing service unto the Lord, always laboring unto the Lord? But see, so many people begin to labor unto themselves because they're not kingdom mindset yet. Only when you become kingdom mindset. Listen, God wants to bless your socks off and then replace them with nice socks, brand new. But the problem is because we get into a position where we start doing it in our own strength and our own trust, that he just lets us go. We'll go ahead and labor. But that's not the job I called for you, but you can go ahead and do that. The worst thing that you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment.
Amen?
Amen? That's why we must endure. We must be patient and allow the Lord to build the house and not us. And sometimes there are certain things that seems like, man, I just don't know when. Praise God, and you don't need to know when. You just need to trust. That's how he's trying to equip us. So we get in a place of complete trust. Trust me. Trust me. Let me tell you, when I go through struggles, I trust you. I start confessing. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And you know what? Everything goes away. I trust you. I trust you. I'm grabbing hold of you no matter what's going on. Lord, everything. Why? Because what does he say? You grab hold of him, everything can fall around you, but you won't. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let's read it. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ. In other words, we are servants to the anointing. And stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, you are stewards of the revelations God has given you. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what?
Faithful.
But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the who? Is the Lord. In other words, he's got the Lord before him all the time, receiving God's counsel, correction, and direction. That's his judgment towards me and you. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from who?
God.
From the Lord. Amen. We are servants of the anointing. We are stewards of the revelations. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are more than conquerors. Ephesians 2, and verse 4. Everybody there? Ephesians 2, verse 4, let's speak it. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By Christ you've been saved, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in, together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a what? It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship. Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, what, for good works. So he's equipping me and you to always have good works. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. It's good to hear the pages turning on Tuesday night. Let's speak it. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystrum, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Well, what?
Suffer persecution.
For what? Training. Equipping. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise. For salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. That the man or woman of God may be what? Complete and what? Thoroughly what? Equipped for every good work. So if you're not equipped for every good work, you won't produce good works. It's not going to happen. You won't know how to handle things. Because you're going to be attacked in all kinds of things. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be offended. But people who react is because they're not accepting the equipping. They're not using what they've learned. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Why? Because they haven't been trained. They're not equipped in the futility of their mind. Having their what? Understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. Because of the what? Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all cleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's phenomenal. You've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off that old man, that old character, concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, which reacts, doesn't respond, according and loves lust, easily deceitful, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So know that the equipping is so that you maintain the new man and constantly distance yourself from the old man. You must be equipped. You must be trained. Or you'll be always looking out for you and not kingdom business. Is everybody okay? In other words, God wants to get us to a place of we are complete with equipment, with training. Amen? So we can see things the way he sees things. So we can hear. So we can discern. And so we can make right decisions. We know when to depart from something. And we are sensitive to the boundaries that are set in our life. You know, I had a vision, I think it was this morning, in prayer. And I think the Lord was preparing me for the teaching, which I didn't know until later. And it was wild to me. He said, and I saw, you know how a matrix is, a maze. But there's one thing about a maze. There's no ceiling on it. There's just walls. And he said, my children, he said, my people that are equipped, they run on top of the walls. But the enemy sets traps, and they fall back into the matrix, and the great deception of darkness. See, that's why we need to be equipped, because we're not to be in the matrix, we're to be on the walls of the matrix, jumping from everywhere and able to go everywhere. And that's what I saw this morning. He said, only those who are equipped are able to run on the walls. Oh, hallelujah. Because one of the things the enemy tries to do, he tries to trap us. He always sets nets to cause us to fall back into the blinding deception of the matrix. And many people do. You know why? Because they're not using what they've learned or they have not been equipped. In Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. In verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Is everybody there? It's right after Hosea. And it's after Joel 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. For a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops, they leap, like the noise of flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people wrath and pain, all faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. What wall is that? Matrix wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. I wanted to show you. They run on the walls of the matrix, the maze of darkness, deception. As one, look at in the matrix, one just misleads the other. That's all there is a misleading. They stay in the matrix until the Lord rescues us. What does God do? He pulls us out of the matrix. He doesn't keep, in other words, we live in a like a matrix in this realm, but we are on the walls of the matrix. We're not living according to the matrix. We are above the matrix. Has everybody got that? That's why he equips us. Whoa. Only those running and walking on the walls can be victorious because they see and they hear. But the proud fall back off the wall into the dark deceptions, rejecting the training and equipping, while the humble live. Why? Because the word says that God rejects the proud but gives what? Grace to the humble. That's God's plan. More of his plan. But the humble live above the matrix on the walls, and darkness does not touch them. 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is phenomenal. Spiritual gifts are tools. God uses spiritual gifts to equip us. You should be using them in your own personal life also. It's not just used for ministry. You need to use them for you. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works it all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one was given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. I want you to look at something, because all of these gifts all fall under a foundation called tongues. In fact, prophecy is nothing but interpretation of tongues. All these gifts are motivated and activated through praying in tongues. But each one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So in other words, while you're praying in the tongues, you're praying in the Spirit, any gift can manifest at any time. And believe me, you don't have to discern which one it is. Just do it. Let's see, is that one? I don't know if I should do it. I don't know. Man, just do it. You see something, you speak it. You get a word of knowledge, word of understanding, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Quit trying to figure it out. That's all stinky religion. By the time you figure it out, you fall back in the matrix. Then you have to climb back up on the wall again. Spiritual gifts are tools. And too many people don't use the gift of the Spirit. Remember, God gave the gift of Jesus. Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the gift of tongues. But people don't use that gift enough. Many people just reject it. They don't even seek it. Oh, they ask for it, but then they don't press in. They don't seek it and seek it and seek it. You seek it. It's a promise from God. You go after it until it manifests. Spiritual gifts are tools. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10. Does God want to equip you with spiritual gifts? Yes. Of course, you know, you get around some of the false doctrine that tells you, well, it was only for the apostles. But it's pretty amazing that while everybody was in the upper room and they got slammed in the Holy Spirit, and then afterwards they went out to other places and they all got slammed in the Holy Spirit and they all started praying in tongues. So it wasn't just for the apostles, was it? In fact, when the Lord visited Saul, who became Paul, one of the things he said to him after he sent Ananias to him, laid his hands on him, Paul got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the scales came off. Believe me, he prayed in tongues right then and there. And the Lord said, look, I've chosen him to be a vessel for me, but he's going to have to suffer. In other words, that suffering was for his what? Equipping and training. See, so many times we're so caught up in our sufferings that we're now not allowing it to train us. We're allowing it to scar us. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to scar you, and God wants to train you. Oh, hallelujah. Receive what the Spirit is saying tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Let's speak it. For though we walk in the physical realm, the flesh, we do not war according to it. Hello, that's it. What more do you need to know? It's like, hello. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God is promoting you. Does everybody get it? He's got your eye. He turns your eyes on you instead of him. The enemy turns your eyes on you. He's arguing with you in your thoughts. Well, I don't need to do this. I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship. I don't need this. I don't need that. I can do it. It's just me and Jesus. Wrong. Casting down arguments that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ or the anointing, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. So when you were supposed to do, why? Because you can't destroy something. You can't get rid of it unless you're submissive. Why? The word says submit to God, you resist the devil. You submit to the authority, you have the authority. Let me tell you, these demons know whether you have authority or not. They know it. They know, remember, they can read your mind. They know exactly what you're thinking. They know whether you have authority. They know what you're thinking. They know what's going on. They have our number. That's why you need to change it. Hallelujah. Our service to the King and His kingdom is priority. That's why God wants things done in divine order. People don't even know what priority is these days for divine order. It must be learned. Amen? Amen. Truth, power, righteousness, honorable death. All these things are for the equipping of the saints, those who are right standing and upright with God. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Equipping of the saints. Remember, God does not equip the heathen. He rescues them. If they want to be equipped, great. If they don't, they go back. And verse something. Are you there? Oh, verse 10. Sorry. Let's speak it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. And what is the fear of the Lord? Honor, respect. Amen? Honor, respect Him. Reverence Him. That means you acknowledge Him in everything you do. The Lord is always before you. That's called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Remember, wisdom always tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. For by me your days will be what? Multiplied by what? Wisdom. And years of life will be added to you. God is equipping us from wisdom from above to supersede the wisdom from the world. If you are wise for yourself. What wisdom he's talking about that? Worldly. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits on the door of her house and on the seat by the highest places of the city, who calls to those who pass by, who go straight into their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. In other words, whoever doesn't have wisdom. In other words, he's talking about very deceived. People are easily deceived. Why? Because people are still living out of their emotions instead of living out of the word. That's why people fall into relationships. Boom, 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 boom. Constantly. Insecurity. Not equipped. Some people just got to have relationships. But that's not God. Does everybody understand that? First, God wants you. When he has all of you, then he prepares a relationship. But when you're out of God's time, you're trying to prepare a relationship because of emotion. A place, remember, the enemy always wants to get you a place of loneliness. Where there's loneliness, there's unworthiness. Oh, we could go on with that, but I won't. I'm going to go to Proverbs 8 instead. Proverbs 8, 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate evil.
Is rebellion evil? Yeah. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. We're to hate these things. And the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles. All the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Oh, we're to love the Lord and hate evil. Wisdom again tells us what to do, and understanding tells us how to do it. In John 15, for our weapons are not physical, but they are what? Spiritual. You know, in this, when we're talking about those weapons, one thing is that we need to discern the voices of influence. See, when people are not using what they've learned or not equipped, voices of influence are always misleading to them. They're not making what is unseen to become seen. You know, the Word of God allows me and you to compare truth with what is said and anywhere else. That's how we compare. Amen? Again, we also have the major weapons of God, which is his name, his word, and his blood. Many people don't even use it. They use help. Help! God's given us the keys to bind and loose. He's given us the weapons of prayer and praise and worship. All of these are weapons. Why? God's equipping us with all of these things, so no matter where you are, even if in your own Walmart, you can praise God. If you're being attacked, if the price is too high, pray in the Spirit. That way it doesn't affect you. Or you can say, get behind me and go buy the cheaper one. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I want you to understand that we are the branches. Just in case you don't know. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Now, It doesn't mean that it's going to be done on your time. Okay. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? Disciples are those who are equipped. The training for equipping. So everybody got it? Okay, I'm going to close at Psalm 1. Equipping of the saints. These signs will follow them. You will cast out devils. That's equipping. Amen. You will speak with new tongues. That's the gifts. You'll lay hands on the sick. They will recover. Praise God. Sometimes you need to lay hands on yourself and get rid of everything. Just look in the mirror. You'll see those things in your eyes sometimes. And when you're struggling, run to the mirror and command it to go. What are you struggling with? What's the fruit of the struggle? That's the presence. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
If people start going to the mirror and start removing stuff, they wouldn't go to the phone. They'd hit the throne. Amen. Amen? Use the equipment, everything that God has given you. Use it. Don't let it sit on the shelf and collect dust. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hello! Blessed. So the person that walks in the counsel of the ungodly is what? Curse. So listen, don't get counsel from peers. Get encouraged from peers. You get counsel from leaders and the heads. Does everybody get it? That's where you get counsel from. People are always calling people for counsel. It's crazy to me. When I was a baby, I called leaders. I called elders, people that have been around no more. I wasn't going to talk to someone that was in the same struggle I was. They ain't going to help me. Let the snap. Hello? Why? Because of that, I outgrew many of them. But you get counsel from peers, you're going to stay right where you at, man. Blessed, we're going to encourage one another, amen?
Amen.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. In other words, you're not going to dry up. And whatever he does will prosper. Why? Because you're abiding. You're worshiping. You're equipped. Your roots are grounded right next to the river. Always able to drink. Always able to feed. You have miracle grow. The word of God. You'll grow quickly. Everybody wants to grow quickly, don't you? Amen. Verse 4. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the reward of the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the godly shall perish. They shall come to an end. Listen, the Lord is equipping the saints rapidly, quickly, but you got to be willing. He's looking for a willing heart and to put it into action. Get your eyes off of you. Amen? That's why he gave me and you the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the flesh. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for equipping us. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll quicken us, bring to remembrance those things so we can cut loose from this world as soldiers of the Most High God. Ambassadors, servants, and stewards, cutting ourselves from the entanglements and affairs of this world without fear, without pride, but humble and strong in power of the Lord, with boldness to say yes to you and no to the enemy, and to stand strong to decree the truth and not fear man, but reverence you. Lord, let this seed grow into every part of our being today. As sons and daughters and soldiers of the Most High God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Be blessed and stay dressed with the glory.